This week's episode of the Inside Running Podcast is sponsored by ASICS. ASICS have announced the launch of its revolutionary new distance running shoe, the MetaRacer. Designed to help runners reach their peak performance, the MetaRacer features revolutionary glide sole technology with a carbon plate to give runners greater forward propulsion. The MetaRacer will be available from June 26th. There is a limited stock though, so you should get in before it runs out. Check out ASICS MetaRacer at www.asics.com and enjoy this episode. Welcome to episode number 139 of the Inside Running Podcast. Thanks for joining us for another week. We're back. Thanks for downloading the show, giving us a bit of your attention. I've got a lot of running news this week, actually. There's a bit to get through on tonight's agenda. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host down in Anglesey, Julian Spence, 214 man. Big Moose, how you going?
Good, mate. Yeah, another good week.
Another good week. You're rolling down there, actually. You're stringing some good weeks together. We'll hear all about that in a second. And my other co-host this week is the same guy as every other week. He hasn't had the baby, Bradley Croker. How are you going?
Good, Brady. Just on baby watch.
Viv sitting 4 metres away, 5 days overdue. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. So it was due on last Thursday and it's now Monday. But Lily was late as well. So, yeah, every day at the moment we just wake up and wonder if we'll be heading to the hospital. So we're certainly not planning too far ahead.
Funny, because we signed off last week saying this time next week you'll definitely have a baby, and you don't.
Yeah, well, I guess I thought, you know, due on Thursday, maybe a couple of days late. But hey, I'm happy to be on the show.
Yeah, it's good to have you. I was starting to think today if I had to get any backups teed up, but it's all good having the original panelist on the show. What about your running, Bradley? What's been happening there?
It's been a bit average. I did run every day last week. Would you like me to go through it?
That would be good. He doesn't seem too excited about this arrival though, does he, Moose? Like every day I message our group like, how are you, Brad? Are you at the hospital yet? Just gives me nothing back. I think I'm more excited than he is.
He knows what his life's about to turn into.
I know that one has been relatively easy for both of us, but in particular me. I know that two is definitely going to change things, more so for me, I think. But no, it'll be exciting. I guess we're excited on probably like Thursday, thinking, all right, today might be the day, and then Friday, and then it's like you can't get excited like every single day. So, but when we go to the hospital, I will be super excited.
Is Viv excited, or she's just over it and wants it to happen already?
Viv, you excited or you're over it?
Put her on, Brad. Give her the mic. We'll have a chat with Viv before we move on to your week. She's probably more excited than going through your week.
All right, she's on her way. She's takes a little bit longer to get off the couch these days.
We haven't got an interview this week, so we'll call this one featuring Viv.
All right, here she is.
Hello.
Hey, Viv, how you going?
Yeah, good, thank you.
We're just wondering how you're tracking a couple of days overdue.
Oh, yeah, I guess it's to be as expected. Just a bit over it. You know, I guess Brad summed it up pretty well that you get excited for the date, the leading up to it, and then you get to the date and you're like, all right. Then you get one day past the date and then you just kind of want you want it to happen so then you can get on with your life.
Yeah,
because
that's
at the moment we can go to night, you know, we can go to sleep and have our lovely full night's sleep, and we know that can't last forever. So it's just waiting for that lovely, lovely time to end.
And have you got names picked out and stuff, Viv? Boy or girl, what do you reckon?
We have a boy's name picked out and nothing for a girl.
Okay, just hoping it's a boy. You got any questions, Moose? You'd be loving this conversation about babies.
Who is this we're talking to?
This is Viv Croker, Brad's wife.
I don't have any questions.
That's good.
But good luck, though.
Yeah, all the best, Viv.
Thank you.
Looking forward to some good news. Do you sit that close to Brad every week when we record, or is this because you're just, due any second now?
No, I usually like to give Russell a bit of a cuddle on the couch. So it's sort of Russell time once Lily goes to bed.
Let's talk about Russell. Russell's my favourite.
I've never met him, but you've met him, haven't you? You've been up there, haven't you, Moose? Didn't you stay at his house?
Russell was the best. Russell, I would go back to visit Russell, not Brad. Russell.
All right, Viv, best of luck the next couple of days.
Thank you. See you.
See you later.
See ya.
All right, back.
Brad, Monday, what'd you do running-wise?
Yes, that was my first day back. I took a whole week off. Went out for 7K. I drove down to Yerribee just because I wanted to keep it somewhere flat. I was confident that my hip was going to be fine. I was able to hop on it and everything, and it was really good. The run itself was pretty rubbish, but it was to be expected. Anytime I have more than probably 2 days off in a row, things just really seize up on me, but it wasn't as bad as other runs I've had. Got through 7K at 4:19s. Each kilometre sort of got a little bit better. Then on Tuesday, just added 15 minutes. This time I went out to Mulligan's, 10.5K at 4:17s. Worked Wednesday, and then went out that afternoon. And this was a really rough run. I did the same run 2 weeks ago. 16K 2 weeks ago, I ran like 4:06s, 4:07s, and my hip was sore, but I felt like I was running pretty well. Whereas this one was a real grind. I was the first 5K is predominantly downhill. Downhill with a tailwind, and I looked down and I was like averaging over 4:20s. I just couldn't unlock my hips and my hammies, but I ended up ploughing on 4:16s for 10 mile that afternoon. Then Thursday I decided to I wanted to do some drills and some strides and just to try and it's probably one, and I'll talk about it maybe at the end of my week, but it's one area of my running that I really think as I've gotten older and gotten more into marathons, I've really, lost focus on good running technique and biomechanics. So I went down to the synthetic oval, a couple of K from home, about 500 meters around, and did 10K, average 4:05s, which I'm not sure how accurate that is, based on it being just 500 meter loop. Stopped, did a few sort of drills, a few strides. It was really cold, so it was hard to get moving. That was Friday. Oh, no, it was Thursday. Friday, did an hour out at Mulligan's, 4:11s. Certainly wasn't moving very well. I was originally going to do a session on the Friday, but I thought, I'll just give myself another day. And then, Saturday I went out, warmed up, felt pretty terrible. Once I just get into this, we've heard about it for 2 years. Once I just get into this stuff with my hip and back, it doesn't matter what pace I'm running at. It's all just hard work because I just have no drive through my glutes. So warmed up. I was going to do like a 5K sort of tempo. I ran 16:40 for 5K, and I was I felt like I was pretty much flat to the boards the whole way. Had about three minutes recovery, and then just did some 30-second reps, and my hip was starting to get a little bit shitty again by this stage. So then yesterday, being Sunday, I decided just to go down to the synthetic oval again and just do I said between 20 and 30 minutes. Ended up doing 25 minutes at 404s. Did a bit of yoga actually on the Saturday and the Sunday, and did some activation stuff before I went for the run on Sunday. And it was an awesome afternoon, and it was definitely the best I felt running wise all week. Averaged 404s for the 25 minutes. Felt like I was actually flowing for the first time all week, but my hip wasn't great. So I hadn't planned to go any longer than 30 minutes anyway, but just did 25 minutes, and that was the week. So 80K I did for it, with one pretty shitty session. Really, it was hard work.
Lucky you're not pacing the girls up at our Gold Coast this year, Brad, with it being yeah. cancelled. You might have been in a bit of trouble running 16:40 for 5K.
Yeah, like when you put it into perspective, you know, I know I missed like 1 week of training, which does make a difference, like maybe not to fitness, but to that neuromuscular pattern and proprioception it does. And, you know, that was my second session in the month of June. So it's going to take, like, it's going to have an effect. But, the last session I did around Yerribee Pond, I think it was at 5:43:21 off like a 90-second sort of float / jog. And I averaged sub 3:10s for that whole session. And, like, that was an easier session than 3:20s was for 5K. So, yeah, like, I knew something wasn't quite right. But, yeah, getting back to what I think, like, as I've gotten older and gone up into the marathon, I've focused less on good running technique, and I've probably relied more on just general strength and fitness. And I've got this other theory, which I don't know if you boys agree with, and I don't really have any science behind it, but I reckon these super shoes, and I've been doing a lot more sessions in, like, you know, the 4% and things like that. So I think a combination of those shoes and fitness can sometimes mask poor biomechanics. And I'll give you an example. There was probably, you remember when things changed around? Like, I remember I actually wrote on my Strava, like, fuck yeah, I haven't felt that good for like a year and a half on like a, I think it was like a 90 minute run. And that run, it's like, I knew I was moving really well across the ground. Everything was activated, moving the way it should. And then I reckon from that point onwards, I then strung together another probably 80 consecutive days. But out of those 80 consecutive days, I probably had 10 like that. Although my training was still improving and my sessions were getting better, I would often look down at my watch going, I can't believe I'm actually running this fast for how I feel like I'm running. And so I feel like there's just been that gradual decline from having good biomechanics to then, you know, running more miles, running under fatigue, putting on these shoes, which I think there's more room for error with poor technique when you're in those shoes, compared to, say, the old, like, Nike Streak Sixes. Like, if you're not running well, you notice it a lot more in those shoes than you do in a 4%.
Do you mean you notice it with your pace or you notice it with your technique?
Yeah, so you can get away, you can still run quick in 4% and next percent with poor technique, whereas I think in other shoes you don't, like, the poor technique has a bigger impact on your running. So for me, I've just noticed this gradual decline where I feel like I'm getting through sessions and getting through training based on fitness and strength as opposed to good biomechanics. And so I'm trying to put a few things in place, and it worked out really well with the baby arriving soon. Is that for a while, I think I'm just going to keep my runs really short, you know, 20 to 45 minutes, do drills and strides like a couple of times a week. Do a little bit more home gym work, do yoga a couple of times a week, and just try and get back to the point where I actually feel good running as opposed to just getting through training. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I like that plan. And then get through the first 8 weeks of having a newborn as well.
Yeah. What do you guys think, though, in terms of sometimes, you know, you look down and just because a session's good on paper, it doesn't mean you're running well. And sometimes the shoes can help that. And also, as you get fitter, you can probably push through some sessions, even though you're not, you know, you might be running fatigued, but the session still looks really good on paper, even though you know you're not moving that great. Do you guys know what I'm, you know, do you get what I'm saying or not?
Yeah, and it works vice versa. If you have a session that doesn't look good on paper that feels really easy and good, then you come out of that happier than if you did put the numbers on the board.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess what I'm saying is I just think for me to enjoy my running more, I think I just need to get back to focusing on good running technique, I suppose, making sure everything's activated, you know, like it was when I was, you know, running shorter distances and I was only training 90K a week.
Yeah. How are you going to do that? How are you going to focus on good running technique?
So those things that I, so like definitely this next week, because like my hip's still pretty ordinary. So I've gone back on the Voltaren today just to try and sort of settle that down this week. And I didn't run today, but hopefully I can run at least every second day. And so the idea is for my runs to be just a little bit shorter, where I'm just, you know, focusing on good form. Plus, if I have those issues where my back and my hip and things are locked up, 20 to 30 minutes, I can still like, it's not a grind to get through 20 to 30 minutes of that. Whereas, you know, doing that for an hour, I feel like it just teaches poor technique. But the other things were, I've got some drills and strides that I will do. So what I'll do is Monday will be like gym and 20 to 30 minute run. Tuesday will be the run plus drills and strides at the end of it. And so I probably do a lot of it around that synthetic oval. Wednesdays will be a run and some yoga. And then I'll repeat that again for Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'll just do what I did Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Sunday just run and just see whether it makes a difference. Just obviously running less volume per week, I'll be less fatigued as well, and just see if it makes a difference.
Good plan. I like it.
How about running slower?
I could do that as well, but when I'm running well, I don't think the pace is an issue. But yeah, I take your point.
Well, you take my point. Good. Finally, it's got through. It's been that, 3 years.
That being it's got said, through. That being said, Moose, when so for example, that Wednesday run where I said I just felt like I was, you know, 420s downhill with a tailwind. When this shit happens with my hip, back, hamstrings, it's actually really uncomfortable to run slow because I don't have any propulsion or any forward momentum. Like trying to back it right off, I'm pretty much up and down on the spot, and all I just do is then load up my Achilles. Whereas I find when I'm running a bit quicker, I just have that sort of perpetual momentum. Does that make sense? And then
I'm not sure the scientists are out there are listening, nodding their heads, listening to that.
Yeah, like I seriously.
In terms of loading the Achilles by running slower.
If I run slower when I don't have any glute
activation.
You getting me? Yeah. So, if I run really slow when I don't have that glute activation.
Fuck off!
You're talking to the cattle, Brad.
Then, it's super, like, it's really uncomfortable. So, anyway, that's my plan. And it works well with, you know, this baby coming because, I'm pretty sure I can commit to 30 minutes a day of running at the moment.
Good plan. Running takes a back seat, I reckon. Get the pain-free going and then rebuild blank canvas. All right, Moose, what have you been doing? 180Ks, 170Ks, 167Ks, 69?
Yeah, maybe 170 or something. I just lost you guys. I don't know whether you picked that up.
Oh, we just heard you yelling at the cat.
Oh, did you?
We heard everything of you, Moose.
All right. Yeah, well, I lost the connection. Sorry. Monday. Oh, yeah. So I had a pretty good week. Again, just ticking it off. It's good having a program to just abide by. Don't even have to think about it. So Monday morning I had 8K, ran with Bree. We went down to this place, the Waterhole. It's part of Kagura Park, but it used to be the spot where as kids we'd go and swing off the ropes into the river. The ropes are still there, and midway through the run we kind of dared each other to swing out on the rope and come back in, trying to hold on to it. So that was pretty fun in the middle of the run. Both of us held on. No wet, cold bodies. That afternoon, ran the Anglesey Loop, which is like one lap around town, basically, on a trail called the Anglesey Boundary Track. It's single track for, I'm going to say, 55-60%, and then it's nice walking track for the rest of it. So that's a really good loop. Next day, woke up, ran 7K. Then the afternoon, did a workout in Ballarat. I did 4x8 minutes, and I was going off my heart rate. So 4x8 minutes at threshold heart rate with 2 minutes jog between. It always gets a little dark, so the last rate wasn't great, but I average 3:08, 3:09, 3:12, 3:15. With the last rep, I reckon was mainly attributed to the lack of like light left, because you know you're putting your foot down at say 3:10s or whatever, and you've got a few bumps and lumps. It's pretty uncomfortable, so you have to kind of slow down for that, because it's a bit of a jerk too. When you don't know exactly when your foot's going to hit the ground, it can be a little abrupt. Heart rate averages, which is probably more relevant, it was 160 for the 3:08s, 164 for the 3:09s, 165 for the 3:12s, and 165 for the 3:15s. So this was a pretty comfortable session for me. I finished the last rep and went straight into a jog for the cool down. So I think that's a good way to finish a threshold. A good photo, actually. Did you have a look at that photo I put up?
Sunsetting.
There's been some epic sunrises down here in Anglesey and some epic sunsets in Ballarat. It's been some good weather lately. Have you been getting that?
Yeah, very good for winter, isn't it?
Yeah. Yesterday in particular, like I ran at 2 in the afternoon, and there was like sunshine, no wind, and I'm just like 365 of those, no complaints.
There's no wind. It's so weird. Like, it's just the best. I can handle a bit of rain and stuff, but it's just the wind that kills you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Woke up in the morning, ran 14K in Ballarat before work, went to work, and jogged 8K afterwards. Then I drove home to Anglesey, woke up the next day, ran 8K, had a swim in the ocean afterwards. It was beautiful. Took Bree out there. She enjoyed it less than I did. I'm getting into it now. Instead of like dreading how cold it's going to be, I'm really looking forward to how good it feels afterwards. So the ocean is got some benefits to it, I reckon.
What's the temp, like 14 degrees?
I don't know. It's a good question.
In the water? It wouldn't be that cold, would it?
Oh, down there it would be pretty cold, I reckon.
Oh, it's real cold.
No,
yeah.
I reckon it'd be colder than that. That's what I'm saying. I reckon 14's good.
Oh, 14's pretty cold, isn't it?
Yeah, actually, I've got no idea.
For the ocean, 14's pretty cold, I think.
Yeah, okay.
I'll have to look at that.
I'll see if I can find some information while you keep talking.
So that afternoon I ran 16K out to Hurst Road, which is mountain bike area out behind the Umarela Scout Camp. For those of us to do AV cross country, a lot of this is that area. Have you ever done that, Brady?
Yeah, I did it a couple of years ago. It was terrible. It was like wet and slippery and people getting lost and falling over and smashing their knees. And yeah, that's rough through there. You didn't know where you were going. You had to kind of like study a map as you were going.
Well, yeah, that's where I ran, but it was beautiful, 13 degrees.
Yeah, I was probably going a bit quicker than you were, though, I reckon. It's a bit harder when you're going through that 3-minute K pace.
Yeah, no one does that, though. I bet you didn't run 3-minute Ks that day.
I think I averaged like 3:30s or something that day.
Yeah. But on the way back, you're kind of looking over town and you can see all the weather coming towards you, and there was this massive storm coming in. And I'm like, oh, it's going to be touch and go. Bree was on the bike. I sent her home. I'm like, you just try to get home before it comes. And she didn't make it. It was like, it went from 13 to 1 degree in a minute, and I was getting hit with hailstones. Well, we both were. She was just up the trail a little bit. Sideways hailstones, super windy. It was like so freezing cold and dangerous. I just couldn't believe the way that the storm came in like that. Bree actually fell off her bike, hit her shoulder. Like,
oh, she's shit.
She's black and blue. She got bruises all up and down her. And it was pretty scary because of how bad the trail turned to mush. So within 2 minutes, the amount of rain that came down, the trail went from being firm to being just a mud pit. It was insane how it came in. And watching it come towards you too, it was pretty epic, but until you got wet, and then it just was just the worst. Next day, had a mate, Sugar, come down. He ran with me for a little bit. And then I did a workout that afternoon at Landy Field. So let me just open up this. I've worked out how to do this well. You do open link in new tab, and that way you don't have to go and search back through everything after you open it. So I ran 2K. The goal was to run it at 3:10s. No, 3:05s maybe. Yeah, the goal was to run at 3:05s. I ran it. I thought it would be a pretty easy session. It was 2K at 3:05s, 6 400s at 66, 68, and then 2K again. And so I thought it would be kind of easy. I said that to Ali, and she said, oh, you can go a bit quicker on it later on. But I went a bit quicker earlier because it felt comfy. So I ran 6:05, 400-meter jog, and then 400s in 66, and then 5 at 65 with a minute rest, and then 400 jog again, and then I ran a 6-minute 2K. So that was, again, pretty cruisy session. I was super fatigued after last week's. All week I felt physically drained from that long run. And you know what I was thinking, Croker? This is how much you must feel all the time with running 4-minute Ks for 30-plus K.
Yeah, see, but I never feel super fatigued in sessions. Like, I feel like I do recover pretty well. I certainly wouldn't say fatigue's ever an issue, like, from a session point of view.
It wasn't just sessions, though. It was, like, day-to-day. I was just tired.
Yeah.
I was like, that long run really, I underestimated how much it took it out of me. And then I kind of reassessed how smart that is. And I'm like, what am I doing? And then like this thought came to me. I'm like, fuck, Croker must feel like this every day. Every day he must feel like this. No wonder, I
don't. Like fatigue's not so much of an issue for me. Like, I don't know what it is. Like I do have plenty of time to recover. Like I'm not working in a business on my feet all day. So I think that plays a big part as well. Other things that you've got going on in your life.
Yeah, probably. But I was tired as fuck. And that workout was good for me to get that done. So that was on Friday afternoon.
I'll take it as a compliment, Moose. That
doesn't affect you, Brad.
That I'm a tough man and get through it.
Well, yeah, how are you going right now?
Yeah. I get through it for 150 days.
Yeah. Consistency is king, right?
That is true.
So Saturday morning, had an early one, woke up 14K before the sun came up. Just epic. Love doing that. Going to do that more often. Then worked all day. This is commute day Saturday, so got home kind of late, 6:30. Ran with Bree. We're running down the street near the golf course, and someone yells out the window at us. I'm like, oh, here we go. And then they stop, and I turn around, and it was my mum getting driven home from the golf course after playing golf and staying at the bar for a while afterwards.
Just throwing a bit of whip.
Yeah. And then, so that was pretty funny.
She been escorted by security?
Yeah, my sister. Get home. Next morning, we went and I was the loop maker on this morning. Sunday morning, we met at Point Road Night Beach and 28K of good long running. So we didn't go as quick this week. Ended up averaging 4:18, but I made sure it was a bit hillier. So 585 meters over the 28K. We had a pretty good loop. We're sort of borderline on that 10 people thing. If I'm counting, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Isn't it? No, it's 20 now in Victoria, 7, isn't it?
I think it went back to 10, didn't it? Or not, maybe not.
No, I think it was just people that could visit your house. That thing changed.
Oh, okay. All right.
I think
okay,
exercise you can still do in groups of 20 or less. Don't quote me on this stuff, though.
The way you're going down there, it'll be back to full isolation soon.
Yeah, Victoria's in trouble.
What is going wrong? What are people doing? I don't know. But yeah, it was great, Lou. It was super icy morning. Like car was frosted over. It's never that cold. But by the end, the sun was up. It was just a beautiful morning. Got in the ocean afterwards. Had a bit of a swim, actually. You can check out my Strava peak for a bit of snorkeling without the snorkel or mask.
Oh, someone in that photo. I just thought it was a picture of the ocean. I didn't realise there was someone in there.
Yeah, it's me.
That's you. Jeez, what's the temperature, Brad? Did you look it up? Can't be too cold if he's doing that.
13.6 was the temperature today. So... pretty close to 14. Yeah.
Where's that? Is that in the bay or is that open?
Well, ocean? I'm on surf-forecast.com and it says today's Anglesey sea temp is 13.6.
Yeah, we'll take that. That's pretty cold.
The mean is 13.9 for the 29th of June between 1981 and 2005.
Good stats. You just love living down there too, don't you, Moose? You can just tell.
I do love living down here. There's not a doubt about it.
Just swinging on ropes, going for swims in the ocean, organising these new loops with all the boys.
It's a good group here. Like our group back home, solid group, a lot of good banter, but kind of slightly disappearing. Like Watto does this crazy shit, like 58K runs under 4 minutes a K. No one's joining him for that shit, you know. If you want to go do that stuff, see you later, group. Good luck getting mates for that one.
So, Moose, you're done with Ballarat then?
No, I'm still Ballarat. I'm just spending a bit more time down here at the moment. So I'm definitely there. Tuesday nights running with the group. Wednesdays running with people. Wednesday nights running with people. Saturdays run with people sometimes. And that's just how it is at the moment, depending on what happens with, like, how the business is and the staffing. I might be up here. Well, I might be in Ballarat back to 5 days. Who knows? We don't know. It's just a time right now where we kind of have great staff. Everyone wants to work. It's just good. So taking a little bit of step back in terms of that anyway. Good one.
I whizzed through this week, eh? I had a shocker, actually. I thought I was hungover on Monday, but then I just ended up feeling the same way for about 7 days in a row. And then I figured out that maybe I was actually sick and not just hungover. But Monday, woke up. I had a mate's 50th the night before and didn't have much to drink, actually, but woke up feeling terrible. Laid around the house the whole day feeling sorry for myself. Got out for half an hour at 4:23 pace. Tuesday, same thing. Woke up feeling terrible. Got out for half an hour in the morning before going to work and then 11K in the afternoon. Think I went to bed at like 7:30 that night just to try to sleep it off. Then Wednesday, you had us down to a track workout, Moose. Probably the hardest track workout I've ever done. I didn't even do it properly. It was 8x400 meters in 62 with 70 seconds recovery. And then we had a lap jog. And then it was 5 200s aiming for 28 seconds with 60 seconds recovery. One of those ones we drove over, we were a bit late. Got over to Shepparton at like 11:20. And I remember saying...
11:20.
Yeah, I know. And I remember saying to Archie going over in the car, like, I hate training at this time. Like, it just does my head in. And it was just, I remember saying to him, like, I feel sick. And I thought it was because I hadn't, like, jogged yet. And it was just too late in the day and I was feeling sluggish and stuff. Anyway, we got there, finally got there. There was, like, roadworks going on. We had to go through Kyabram. And, yeah, anyway, we finally got there. I was pissed off before we even got there just because we were training so late. These 462, it felt like I had to be concentrate from the word go. Like, you can't relax at all. Well, I can't when I'm trying to run 62s. I put on the ASICS Meta Racer, which was another mistake that I shouldn't have jumped into a session where I had to be so quick, like, relatively for my paces in a brand new pair of shoes that I'd never tried before. So, did the first, Archie and I took in turns, did the first one 62, 61, 62, 63. Then it was my turn to lead the fifth one. And I was just feeling like super lactic in the back straight every time. And I led the fifth one through in like 33. And then I just waved Archie on and kind of said, you get going because there's no way I can kind of close this and keep us down at 62. I kind of jogged it in 68. And then I made the decision to change shoes, but I forgot my key to the track. So I had to like run over because I just wanted to miss one rep. So I had to run over, scale the fence, get my next percent out of the car, back scale the fence again. And I knew that if I only wanted to miss one rep, I had to I had to give Archie 70 seconds for his recovery and then 62 for his rep and then another 70 seconds recovery. So I probably made it with about 10 seconds to spare to jump into the next rep. And then went 62-62. He was finished then, and I did my last one solo at the end in 62. And amazing how different the shoes felt like. It was just a whole different feeling. And, getting that sponginess back in the next percent, I reckon really helped me to finish off that workout. We were cooked at that stage, though. Like, we were swearing, like, your name through and through, Moose. We're just like, why the hell are we doing this workout? Like, we were not happy at all about this one. Anyway, then we did 5 200s, hit 128. The other four were 29s. That 60 seconds went pretty quick as well. And then we just jogged for 10 minutes cool down, like we were just both absolutely cooked. Thursday, did 10K in the morning, 10K in the afternoon. Still feeling really crook. Friday, started to feel a tiny bit better. Did 14K in the morning. Felt all good in the morning, but then in the afternoon, like I remember just working and just feeling like super fatigued and tired. Slept 7K. No, I didn't sleep 7K. I ran 7K in the afternoon. I felt like sleeping 7K. And then Saturday, you had us down to this 5K time trial for Run Strong. You kind of put half of us on Team Pashley and the other half on Team Spence. And I really didn't want to do this. Like, I was, it's come a bad timing, but I did like the team component and I didn't want to let my team down. And I didn't want to let Archie down as well because I know he was kind of focusing on this 5K time trial and trying to take a bit of time off his personal best. So I thought at least if I can go over there and keep him company. Saturday morning, I did feel like pretty good and I was just trying to psych myself up and I'm like, nah, you're better. You're all good. Let's get this done. We came up with a plan. We went over to Shepparton again. A couple of legends over there kind of met us there to open up the track for us and take laps for us, which was really nice of them. I thought on a really good day we could run maybe like 14:15. I thought a bad day would be 14:35 and a solid day would be 14:25. So we kind of worked out this plan to kind of roll 68, 69s and try to put us in a position to run 14:15 if we had some legs in the last couple of laps. But at the same time, if we blew up, we wouldn't blow up too much. It was okay. Felt all right early. I dropped off Archie with about four laps to go and he kind of gapped me. And then he kind of kept the same gap on me for probably the last two or three laps. I had a couple of shockers in there running like 71s and 72s. And then I got back on a bit the last 600. I ran the last 600 in 142. Was kind of getting a bit closer to him, but he was still well and truly in front of me. He finished in 14:23. I finished in 14:26. But then like drove home, had to go out for lunch because my family were up and like felt like I was going to faint kind of thing, trying to make conversation with them. Didn't do a Saturday run, afternoon run because I was just exhausted. And then like same thing, just waking up in that like cold sweats and just like feverish kind of thing. And then I got out for 30K with the boys on Sunday at 4:12 with Glenn and Archie. And today, Monday, I finally felt better. Just kind of lost that brain fog kind of thing. So I only run 128Ks. It was an okay week, like getting the two sessions in, but I just felt super tired the whole week. It was all right running 14:26 considering what I've just been talking about. But yeah, probably not the, I think I'm much better than that actually. I was thinking that pace would have felt a bit easier. But anyway, that's my week.
I think it's still a great week. Like 128K, it's not like it's a super down week. When you look at, and the quality, like, although you only ran 128K, like you had like a lot of quality in there.
Yeah, that's a good track workout. Yeah. I mean, you're allowed to go deep every now and then like that. That's how you practice what you've, like the mental strategies for a race where you pull out halfway and you go and change shoes and have a rest in the car. Watch Archie go out.
Archie nailed it. Archie did it perfectly. I was trying to work out. I'm like, are you just running the back end of this workout because you actually just had like a 3-minute recovery instead of a 1-minute recovery, or is it because you changed your shoes? Like, I wonder how much which one was impact and war, but I don't know how he did that. And I coming down the straight, like when we finished that one where I popped, I just said to him, like, you keep going, I'm going to change my shoes. Like, I didn't even give him an option to have an extra bit of a break. But, yeah, he was pretty solid. I think he dropped a 61, that one he did by himself, and then just kept rolling through. So, yeah, that was, like, because I'm full tilt probably at 59, 60. Like, I don't think I could sprint a 400 much quicker than the pace we were doing reps at. And I remember after doing one of them, I kind of led the first one, and we kind of hit 62 or whatever. And I remember I was going to say to Archie, like, because it was a bit of wind around like the top bend, I was like, you got to hit 15, 15, hit a 16 around the bend, and then a 15. Like, that's the best way to do it. And I went to open my mouth like 25 seconds into our recovery, and I just couldn't like breathe yet. Like, I was still trying to get my breathing under control, and I'm like, shit, this is going to be a hard workout if this is how you feel after one rep. But, yeah, it's good to go to that well. And I think I'll probably benefit from this week in 2 weeks' time, like when I've got that 5K in the legs and I've got that speed that's kind of absorbed in the legs as well. Because, yeah, I can't remember doing anything that hard on the track before. But it was good. That 5K, like mentally, that was just a beast to do. And I probably switched off with a mile to go. And, yeah, anyway, got back on. I thought it would be easy after doing 10K on the track, but that was probably 10 times harder.
5K is brutal.
Less atmosphere too.
5K is harder though, I reckon, in terms of, yeah, it's shorter, but that like 4 or 5 minutes at the end is way more painful than the 10K. Mm. Yeah. Kia asked you to hand over the keys to Archie?
Yeah, he's got me the last three time trials now. He got me that 10K in Bendigo, this one in Shep, and that one we did in Moama. So, yeah, not quite yet. You know how all the ambassador deals work as well. New financial year, you sign the new contracts, money goes in the bank account. We've just got to get through the next couple of weeks, keep these results on the low, get some ink on paper, and we should be right.
Doesn't it just go off Instagram followers now?
Nah, not up here, mate. This is still country living. It's all about community, shaking hands with people, being seen on the streets.
Yeah, all right. Well, you got that covered.
That's what we need to keep covering. Rightio, let's thank some Patreon supporters, eh? Bradley, kick us off.
So my shout out this week goes to Lachlan Oakes. He lives in Cherrybrook, which is in Sydney. He's got PBs of 9:14 for 3K, 15:46 for 5, 32:53 for 10. He ran 72 down at the Cadbury Half this year, Brady. Actually, he's got a photo of you two on his Strava.
Does he?
You see that? Yeah, he does. Yep. I think he finished 8th that day in 72.
I flicked through all his photos as well because I found that one about his orange marathon one. How did I miss this one?
Don't know. And, ran 2:33 at the orange marathon, which isn't a quick course, which got him second. He's got good Strava numbers, and I believe him and a few others are doing a marathon time trial in a couple of weeks around Homebush area. So thanks for your support, Lachlan, and good luck in a couple of weeks.
Yes, there, that Orange Festival, he ran like a 1 second PB.
Orange is not quick. It's like just country roads, about 1,000 meters above sea level. So 2:33. I think him and a few others are hoping to break 2:30 in Sydney on the 11th of July. Yeah. So good luck.
Yeah, good luck. Who you got, Moose?
I got Lachlan Scott. He's from Happy Valley in South Africa. He's run 1:59.
South Australia, I think.
That was a gag.
Sorry, I missed that one. Usually you read these for the first time now.
No, I know who Lachlan Scott is. He's a good runner. He's run faster than me for 5K. You always know who's faster than you. And so he's run faster than me over 5K, so I know who he is. He's run 1:59 for 800, 3:52 for 1,500, 8:24 for 3K, 14:17 for 5, 31:16 for 10K. And looks like he carries the bags for Caitlin Adams, the Team Tempo athlete.
Star
gun. Pretty good swagger for a young fella. Apparently Brady's making that call. I'm yet to judge, haven't seen picks yet. Part of Team Tempo, he fired up about Croaks backing AH Elite to win the best running club in Australia. Yeah, I did see that, Croaks.
Well, this is the second time that this has happened in the last week. One, Brady putting something up about on Instagram about me backing AH Elite for this best running club in Australia. And the other one was How about Brady putting his video of him running the 5K, Vic Champs, a few years ago, and then blaming me for it?
We're going to take that account off him, I think.
I said thank you, but Brad.
Yeah, I had nothing to do with it.
That was
really neat to take the password away from him.
How good was the kick on that one? Comments rolling in everywhere. It's had like 3,000 views.
15 minutes. Settle down.
Mate, you're still not running quicker than that.
Haven't you come a long way since then?
Yeah, I was thinking that. Moose hasn't, though. He ran the same time down in Geelong the other week. 14:58 or something, didn't you?
Hey, I've won that race. I came second or third in that one in AV, so no.
I did hear a comment during the week. They're like, geez, we watched that video of Moose on your Facebook, and geez, he can't kick, can he? Like, he tightens up in the last 100 pretty hard.
Don't need to kick when I'm fucking 6 minutes ahead of you in a marathon.
It's a good video.
Brady, imagine if you did that race now, knowing that you're like low 14 minutes. Imagine what the kick would have been, how brutal it would look now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd be 200 metres ahead of him before I even implemented the kick. You know, Daniel Cunnell is in that race, and he's ran sub 14 now. Some good guys in there.
I think he just beat me at the end.
Oh, no, he got you on the line.
Didn't beat you. Anyway, yeah, look at where. How far have you come so far? Now you're still winning time trials. No, you're coming second in a Shepherd and time trials.
We're two guys.
So you're really smashing it.
Can't even win a race in my own field, in my own town now.
At least I'm winning my time trials.
The trigger's deep, though. Like, we don't muck around running 15 minutes through the first 5K pace and then go from there. First 3K. We ball hard up here. Who am I thinking?
Halfway through a session, step off the track. I know what sort you are.
Mate, we're going to be 5K. Sick, fever, hadn't slept all week. Just roll out of 14:26. What's your PB for 5K? Is that actually...
It's better than what you two boys ran.
Oh, yeah. Just. Who am I thanking? Oh, hey, I'm back. Brad, are you not back in AH Elite?
Well, they lost, so not anymore.
Get off them. Jump off real quick.
Tempo beat them, didn't they?
Yeah, they got them late. Mark McKelvey, I'm thanking you from Glasgow in Scotland. He ran the Manchester Half Marathon in a PB time of 1 hour, 18 minutes and 16 seconds. 16:35 KPB, and did a 10K time trial last week, was aiming to break 35 minutes, just missed out, 35:06. What else? He's got a couple of good arm sleeves, a bit of tattoos, and he also did the same workout I did last week as well, Moose, the one you gave me with those 15 by 300s with the lap jog after 5 and 10. So we're doing the same program by the looks of things, Mark. So thanks for your Patreon support. Thanks to all the people over there on Patreon who keep the show alive each and every week. If you want to sign up, there's about 60 bonus episodes. Road to Nowhere comes out every week. Road to New York, that's out on there as well. All the bonus Friends of the Shows people.
Good episodes. Content on there. Damn, there's some good content.
There is some good content.
This week's show is brought to you by ASICS. ASICS has announced the launch of its revolutionary new distance racing shoe, the MetaRacer. Designed to help runners reach their peak performance, the MetaRacer features revolutionary guide sole technology with a carbon plate to give runners greater forward propulsion. Extremely lightweight and breathable, the all-new MetaRacer will help you get to the finish line faster. Next week, we'll be reviewing the shoe on the show. MetaRacer will be available from June 26th. Limited stock is available, so get it before it runs out. Check out ASICS MetaRacer at www.asics.com and follow them via the usual channels at ASICS Australia.
Bit of running news, Brad. Are you this one? No, I'll do this one. Matthew Ramsden, you see this 13:27 boys over in WA in Perth?
I did watch this one.
Did you watch it live or did you watch it next day?
No, I watched it live.
Ooh, it was pretty smooth, wasn't it? Had a bit of help for about two laps there with someone else helping take the pace, and then pretty much time trialled it. They said it was windy over there as well to run 13:27, first sanctioned meet since COVID lockdowns. So impressive what this guy's doing at the moment. He'd be, have to be close to the informed runner in Australia at the moment. Would you agree?
Yeah, I guess so. Like, yeah, based on his 2K and this, and the way that he did this one, I like knowing how much pain you're in at the bell in a 5K, and did you see how many people he had to avoid with about, I think it was on that bend. So between 400 to go and 300 to go, I thought, oh, this could be terrible here if he like runs up the back of somebody. So he had a lot of traffic to deal with, but 13:27 time trial, freaking impressive.
It was. Yeah. And he nearly lapped the whole field because Matt Smith was second in 14-18 and Jesse Hunt also 14-18 in third spot. So he's pretty much nearly lapped everyone, 12 guys under 15 minutes.
Pretty rare to see someone move so smoothly. Like, I can't like, when you think back, Stewie's super fast, right? Very fast, but a lot faster than Ramsden, but doesn't quite look as smooth, though, does he?
Ramsden just eats up the track. You're watching him on the stream, and you're like, oh, he's around the bend already. Like, seems like he takes, like, four or five steps, and he just moves, just eats up the track.
That last lap, was it 59, was it?
Yeah, something like that.
And how easy did he make that look? That's what impresses me, and that's what gets me excited with how everything just looks easy to him.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it makes it look very very smooth. So pretty cool to see that happening over there. Brad, you going to tell me about some race cancellations?
Yeah, before we go on, though, like, they're doing some really good things in WA. When you consider 12 guys under 15 minutes, like, for a long time there wasn't a lot of good athletes coming out of WA. And so it's a bit like that resurgence that South Australia had a few years back, that WA are doing the same thing now. So it's awesome that there's really no real weak states anymore in distance running. So good work, guys. In terms of race cancellations, yeah, so Berlin and New York are both cancelled. Previously, Berlin had said they wouldn't be able to hold the race as normal on September 27, but now the 2020 edition's officially cancelled. New York, they were considering running a lead-only race, but then they'll worry that they'll be getting too many crowds on the streets anyway. So of the 2020 US major marathons, it's only Chicago, which is scheduled for October 11, that remains on the schedule, but I can't see that happening.
No chance.
Yeah.
Not in America.
They're still peaking over there, aren't they?
Yeah, no. Yeah. And domestically, I know emails were sent out yesterday to say that, because Canberra is normally April, that got moved to August, and now it's been moved back to the 8th of November. So, yeah, it's like, it's not looking great for races around the globe, really. And even, like, you know, the Olympics now, like, they're not that far away.
Yeah.
Like, is there a chance that they're going to be canned completely?
Definitely a chance. Like, there's a chance for sure, because we're not talking, like, thousands of people, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. You're talking millions there, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it is a different ball game from all around the world. Like, oh, you just, like, at the start, I thought, oh, of course it'll go ahead this next year, and now it's like, oh, I don't think you want to go there anyway.
Well, Melbourne Marathon now is pretty, like, with what's happening in Victoria, like, you can't see that happening.
No, everything's getting held back longer, if anything.
Yeah, yeah, and that was part of, like, I think making the call on after that Saturday session I did. I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to go and just jog around, because it's sort of, you know, knowing that everything's been cancelled and there's just not that many races in the foreseeable future. It's like, what's the point of busting my ass? So, yeah, anyway, that's unfortunate.
That move for November, though, with Canberra, like, they'd be thinking that's a pretty good chance for certainty reasons, even if they have to restrict it to, say, ACT, New South Wales?
Yeah, I guess they're hoping that, well, when they moved it from April to August, they probably thought the same thing then, that, oh, by August it's going to be fine. Yeah. And now they've just gone, all right, let's move it back to November. The downside of 8th of November is it's bloody hot here. Like, I certainly wouldn't want to run a marathon on the 8th of November in Canberra. 10K would be okay, potentially a half if they start early enough, but it's getting pretty warm then.
If they get a race up, though, people are going to be all over it. Like, first one coming out of this whole thing, it's going to sell out immediately, especially if they give, like, a real green light to it. That's not just like the line, oh, we're assessing it at the moment, it's still on or whatever. If they say we're definitely going ahead, you just watch those entries go nuts.
Yeah. Well, Sydney Marathon's still on at this stage.
September. See, New York did a good thing. You could defer your entry for, like, or you could get a full refund, or you could defer it for, like, any of the next 3 years. I thought that was good. It's the first time I've seen that.
The issue is going to be, though, like, does that mean, though, that people can't really, you know, because if everybody defers their entry for next year, that means no new people can really run New York next year because the entries are already full.
Yeah, so that's probably why they've given them a 3-year option.
Yeah, yeah. But it could be hard to get into some of these races if there are deferring entries, but yeah.
If you're coaching someone, got a listener question in today, cannot remember the name, to be honest, but I'll summarise it a bit. This guy was training for Canberra, got the email. What's he do now with training? You have a couple of weeks downtime and then rebuild? What would you do if you're coaching him?
I'd probably just go back to that covering bases, like sort of what, you know, like you look at the likes of MTC, you know, just going back to 2 sessions a week instead of 3, getting a decent long run in. But yeah, just keeping yourself physically and mentally fresh, but still hopefully improving as an athlete.
Darcy Moreland asked that question. What would you do, Moose? Similar thing?
Yeah, there's no one in my stable training specifically for anything right now. There's just too much uncertainty to go wasting Sundays running 40K hard. You can only do that a couple of times a year, and you don't want to do that. You need something there on the tip of your tongue, like right in front of you, to get up for those sorts of workouts. So everyone's back maintaining, a few little carrots in the form of time trials and that kind of thing. But yeah, I'm basically treating every race as not happening before at least November. So like, yeah, maybe Melbourne goes ahead, but who's going to get spots for it? What format will it go ahead in? And it's going to be a real late build if for all of our athletes, and that's fine if it's like that.
Yeah, if you're coming from a good spot, you can get marathon quick in like 6 weeks, fit in 6 weeks.
If you've kept long runs at 2 hours or so,
30K,
for the past, well, say you've been doing them since March, that's bloody good. That's some good stuff. Yeah. So yeah, that's what we're doing.
Today, I've done more Ks for the end of June than I ever have, base-wise, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And it doesn't feel like that, does it?
No.
But it's because you're more consistent.
Yeah, not having those down weeks and stuff. You just ease back, go back to base stuff, keep that long run at 25, 30, and then make a call in September, then you'll know more about it. Mm-hmm. Next bit of news. Moose, you're going to take me through this. This was the, where were we? Colorado Mile.
Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, well, we were looking at, I was looking at this because Morgan McDonald, he was running this. Yeah. So this was the Colorado Mile. It's called the Team Boss, which is the running group in Colorado. They held a mile race as a fundraiser for the Sachs Foundation, Colorado-based nonprofit that supports black students looking to attend college. They raised $30,000 by the end of the evening in the women. This was at altitude, I believe. So Colorado Mesa, I'm not sure what town that's in. But Emma Coburn broke the Colorado Mile record. She ran 4:32. She broke the record that was held by Danny Jones, who ran 4:36. And Morgan McDonald ran 4:02:07, whereas the previous record was 4:01. But so that's good going at altitude. And you know how many Instagram followers Emma Coburn has?
How many, Moose?
Oh, mate, lots. So we were looking at, I think we were looking at Charlotte Perdue's Instagram followers, and I'm like, Jesus, she has like 14,000 or something like that, maybe 30,000. And then I'm like, oh, I wonder how many Emma Coburn has, because she puts out some good content. You know, she is.
Shit, I just looked her up, 329,000.
That is a lot of people following you on Instagram. That is good, isn't it?
It's like 3 and a bit of the MCGs, put all them in a room.
Yeah, she's a boss too. You know, she does Instagram. She does professional running well. She's like a good example for those getting into professional running, how you make a living, like through content.
So that, and her husband's a coach of that group. He's the boss guy, isn't he?
Boss Hart. Yeah, is his surname.
I think we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, so I watched this actually. It's like the weather looked horrendous. You could see the trees in the background just like swaying. So it's pretty good running. And Morgan's last lap was solid. Like they were way off 4 minute pace. But he looked really strong in the last lap. So I think if they sort of put it on the line a little bit earlier, there's probably a good chance that he could have got it. But yeah,
good to see him racing though. First race in a while. What about this story? A bit of sad news out of Kenya. Jeffrey Komworu, the world half marathon record holder. I'm going to read this. Was injured while doing his morning run on Thursday. He went into surgery. The world half marathon record holder was hit from behind by a speeding motorcycle, sustaining injuries on his head and ankle. It was a double tragedy for him because he was set to defend at New York City Marathon, and that news was also announced the same day. I did see some stuff. This got sent in by a listener, Luke Brophy, and I did read this article, which we'll put in the show notes from The Nation. Stuff around like his tibia, they were thinking. He had to have surgery there, a bit of bone floating around. Could be a serious injury for the guy that a lot of people are talking about as the next Kipchoge. Kipchoge's right-hand man, the kind of apprentice. Won New York a couple of times. Did you read that article, boys? It was kind of, I'll just try and find the
line. Yeah, I've got it here. Yeah. I've got it here. So I received the patient on Thursday morning, and we managed to do a surgery, which was to open incomplete right tibia shaft fracture on his right leg and bruises on his head. Ooh. He's doing well, and he should be leaving for home any time. So that was from the doctor. So, yeah, sounded like a pretty bad fracture.
Yeah.
Yeah, shaft, right tibia shaft fracture. Yeah, hopefully he recovers well. I guess if there is a time you get hit by a motorcycle, it's when all the races are cancelled.
And he's a New York guy, always runs New York, doesn't he? And
yeah, wins it. So
he misses New York and misses that paycheck anyway.
Yeah, yeah. All right, listener question, Bradley.
Okay, listener question comes in from Jackson Blades. Hey, legends, thanks for all the quality content. I really appreciate how open and vulnerable the discussion has been in relation to mental health lately. I'm sure, like me, it's helped a lot of people feel less alone and connected to a supportive community. Listening to the podcast has really sparked a new love of running and helped me get through some tough days. I love learning and was wondering if you guys have any top running book recommendations. I'm sure some listeners might be interested too. Thanks. Good question. I haven't read any new running books since the last time we had a similar question, I think.
Yeah, we had this question a bit, but it comes in, like, it was also in from Alice as well. Moose, you got the best collection out of the three of us.
I got some good ones there. What's it called? So Derek Clayton's book, Running to the Top. Now that is a solid book.
Yeah, and you can't just buy that off. Booktopia and stuff, can you?
Well, it was a question. Wasn't it a good running books?
Yeah, I suppose it is, but you don't want
it. It wasn't what's good, popular, buy it from the local fucking newsagent.
I'm sure you could find book. It.
You reckon? Have you got a break?
No, I don't have it.
You're like Jamie anyway, from Joe Rogan, just Googling everything tonight.
Anyway, running to the top. Just, I like kind of these obscure ones. If you don't mind reading some massive slabs of text, Ron Hill's book, there's two parts to it. I think it's called In the Long Run. Maybe, is that Moner's book, In the Long Run? I think they're both called Moner's. In the Long Run. Let me just check.
Who wants to command tab?
Ron Hill. Like, it's, but it's so much. So, like, the book goes for so long. The Long Hard Road, it's called. Everything's long and hard, but there's a road. But he talks about, like, training through some of the hardest winters and weather ever in England. And then he was one of the first guys – well, he was the first guy to do the carb depletion diet before a marathon. And he was, like, making jerseys and singlets, and he was going – it's a good book anyway. It just takes a bit to get into. And there's this other one. Damn it. What is it called? It's like, it's written by Kenny Moore. So Kenny Moore, the Oregon guy. Kenny Moore book. Let me hold up. It's a collection of stories. So Best Efforts, it's called. Best Efforts by Kenny Moore. Get that book. That's the book.
I got that one.
Have you?
You like that one?
Yeah. When I was in the US in 2009, I sort of made a point of going to all the, like, whichever city I was in, going to the bookstores there just to find things that may not be out, because back then, I guess, the internet, like, buying stuff online probably wasn't as prominent as it is now. And you know what it used to be like. If you went to a bookstore to try and find a running book, there'd be, like, I don't know, running for Dummies, like, not, you might find that one. But yeah, so I bought a fair few books while I was over in the US, and that was one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Men of Oregon. I think it was Men of Oregon.
Oh yeah, Bauman, Men of Oregon. That is solid. There was a book I bought in. I just keep forgetting all these books. Damn it. It was from this. It was a local book. You know, like they've written it locally. Who is the fellow who ran in Boulder? Alan Culpepper. Alan Culpepper's book. It was like a little locally produced book. They only kind of sold it in the running store in town. Fuck, that was good too, reading about him.
This best efforts book's worth heaps.
Is it?
$150 US I've got here. Start selling it, Brad. Buy some nappies. Yeah.
Hopefully I've still got it.
Amazon, $450. Yeah, it's pretty rare. Because not many of these get published.
That's why. Yeah. So the best efforts, yeah, it's pretty old. Like he wrote it back in the 80s, 70s maybe?
It says 1998 here.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's a nice, easy read too because they're pretty short chapters on all just different champions.
And he visited them all, right? He went and visited them all in there. Like he went to visited Lassie Viren in Finland. And
did you do Zatopek?
Yeah, no, Zatopek and Ron Clark in Australia. He came out and talked to Ron Clark.
Mm. You got the hardcover or the paperback?
Mine's actually signed by Kenny Moore.
Oh, jeez. Hardcover's gone out here for $490, whereas the paperback's $42.
Mine's a hardcover.
And signed. I wrote some down. I did some preparation for this. These are ones you can actually find and aren't going to cost you an arm and a leg. Bob Larson's book, Running to the Edge, that is about $50 or $60, that one. It's a bit more expensive than most of the books getting around. That's a really good one, talking about his role in coaching and figuring out like how to coach people and how you meant to feel, not so much like just what the paces and stuff are meant to be. Dina Castor's book, I really enjoyed that as well. And talking about New York before, A Race Like No Other. That's a book all about the New York City Marathon, and I really enjoyed that. Like different chapters that talks about different people doing it, some elite guys, some kind of like charity guys. I think there's a chapter on like Paul or Radcliffe, and it just goes in and out of different characters, and yeah, I enjoyed those ones as well.
And I'll throw in The Boy Who Runs. I've mentioned it before on this show, but that's a story about Julius A. John. Yeah. It's a pretty amazing story.
That's good. Moose on the Loose.
Yeah, Moose on the Loose. So I thought I'd do a bit of education tonight. I'm not going to rant at anyone and I'm not going to inspire anyone, but I'm going to educate people tonight. So tonight I noticed on Friday down the track in Geelong that there was a whole range of new types showing up. So, you know, you normally go to the track, you just see the hardcore track athletes, maybe a few junior squads, that kind of thing.
Just before you keep going, like Geelong track, gates open, just walk in.
Andy Field, gates open, boom, you're on there.
What, the council? Yeah. Who owns it?
The council, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
We have two synthetic tracks here in Canberra and both are locked up.
Mm. Well, I called Deakin. Right. I wanted to train at Deakin. I got put through. No one knew anything. They put me through to the security team and the security team said, no, it's closed. You can't use it. And the security guard's patrolling, so... I went to Landy Field and Landy Field's open. You can sort of just park and walk in and brilliant.
You had to pay a fee or anything or like a track membership?
No. It gets respected too. The track's in good shape. Everyone respects it.
It's a good track.
It's okay. Yeah. The lane one's a bit slippy now, but what I was sort of seeing is that there was just a whole heap of sort of newbies to the track, we'll call it. So people that maybe haven't ever been on a track before and maybe this might be their first time running in an athletics facility. And there were a few instances where traditional track etiquette wasn't really maintained during the session, but this isn't their fault because they don't know. This is like going to the gym for the first time, right? And going and seeing like a gym, like a machine, and not having any clue what the etiquette is, because you don't know, you've never been there before, you don't know the rules. So I thought what we could do is try to sort of educate all the new runners on track etiquette. We have a lot of listeners. We have a lot of triathletes who listen and park runners. We have like first-time runners, trail runners that are starting to use the track, and so I think it's good to know this sort of stuff, because when you go there, you'll be a lot less intimidated if you're sort of aware of the rules. So these are my unofficial rules, right? And feel free to jump in if you disagree with them, fellas. But rule number one, at the tracks that I've been to, everyone is welcome. And you've got to make them feel welcome. So our sport, how good is it to go to a track and see people there, like using a track, enjoying the same sport that you have such a passion for? It might be their first time down there, but it's like, I love seeing it. Like, I go to the track and see new people there, it's just like, oh yes, this is good. Like, these people are starting to get a taste for it. They're coming into my world, and I want to make them feel good. So smiling, saying good day, asking them how their session's going, that kind of thing. Like, you don't need to like stop mid-session and talk to someone, but just making them feel comfortable that it's there, like an atmosphere that's welcoming and inviting. Because it is intimidating going to a track. Even sometimes I rock up to a track the first time that I'm not familiar with, and still, yeah, like you walk down, you're sort of like a little bit nervous going to a new track where you don't know anybody. So I think that's a really good thing, making people feel comfortable, especially if you can tell like they're a little out of their depth.
That was the best thing about that Matthew Rams and 2K. Like, how many people in the background just doing reps in other lanes and people joining in. Like, it was an elite performance, but there was just everyone was happy and involved. And I don't know, that's what I felt when I watched that video.
Yeah, and I mean, you can go to a track by yourself, solo, like, how shit's that? Or if you go to a track and there's people around who'll give you a little clap as you run past, or give you a cheer, that kind of thing, just, and you do the same thing, it just builds an atmosphere.
Pump the chest a bit more, I reckon.
Yeah, like, I love it. I mean, how much better is a session when there's a few people to show off to? So much better. So rule number one, yeah, don't be a dick, basically. Rule number two, lane one is for fast running only. Now, that doesn't mean fast running, like only fast runners are allowed in there. That means if you're doing an effort, you run in lane one. It's not for jogging, recovering, congregating, walk breaking. It's for fast running. So I got no issue if you're going your hardest, doing your effort in lane one, and you're really slow. That's totally fine. You're allowed to do that. But if you're jogging along, doing a fucking warm-up in lane one, I'm gonna say something as we go past. Not really, but I'm going to think about saying something.
You're breaking rule one with rule two.
That's what I mean. I'm going to, that's just a rule. Don't break it. Lane one, fast running. Lane one, not jogging.
Yep, I like that's, it. Doesn't matter how fast or slow you are, though. Just if you're going full gas, right, you're in lane one. That could be a four-minute lap, or it could be a 50-second lap.
Yeah, you have every right to be there running fast, as much as the guy training for the Olympics, or if it's your first time at the track. Rule number three, stay left. So if you're doing a rep and you hear someone coming behind, do not wait till the last minute and try to move to lane two, because that guy behind you or girl, they're going to run straight up the back of you. Just stay to the left. Just stay left. That's fine. Stay left, we'll go around. Or I'll stay left and Brady, you can come around me when we're doing reps.
Be in front of you when we're doing reps, I reckon.
That was, I just give you the fucking moment, mate. I just said you'd go around me.
I was switching off a bit over here.
Rule four.
Up to rule four yet?
Yeah, rule four. This is my last one. Be aware. So look behind you when you're about to jump into a rep. So say you're doing 400s and you can see someone coming through around right where you're about to start. And if they're moving at a pace that's quite a bit faster than you, take an extra 5 seconds on your recovery and jump in behind them. Do not start your rep immediately in front. And always be sort of looking around, because there's fucking shot puts and discuses and javelins and pole vaulters getting around. So just be aware that you're around there. Got any more rules, you boys? Or you think that's covered them?
Just the one on being aware. Like, I've often had people, like, they're walking across the infield and then, like, just halfway down the home straight, just step into... because they're talking to a friend. So it's about that be aware. But another one is, and I see this a lot, people will finish a rep.
Oh, yeah.
They've run it in lane one and you're not far behind. And like, mm-hmm. they're obviously cooked from the rep, but they sort of just go hands on knees like in lane one. So it's around that congregating. As soon as you finish your rep, if the track's busy, move out to two, three, lane four, like just get out of the way.
Or yeah. even onto the inside then.
The infield's even
infield
safer.
Or whatever. Just, that's a big one for me.
Wow.
Yeah, and sometimes even if someone's coming in, say you've got 10 seconds recovery to go, but you're feeling all right and you can roll off a quicker recovery, just get your rep started so you're not going to be in people's way. Rather make the call to go later or go earlier, but don't be fixated by a 60-second recovery and have to do it then and cause a crash.
Yep, so there's some good little rules, I reckon. Pretty easy.
Leave the track how you found it as well, Moose.
Marty Dent would probably have a rule 5 in there that if you're training in a group and you haven't led a rep all session, don't blast the last rep, be a hero. Otherwise, some people will give you a spray for it.
That's a whole different kettle of fish, group etiquette. Training group etiquette.
Do that next week.
Yeah. So let's just rehash them. Make people feel welcome, comfortable. Lane ones for fast running only. Stay left and be aware. Done. Whew. Put that up in every track in Australia, I reckon.
Yeah, well, yours is the only track that people get into, I reckon, in Australia.
Yeah. It's pretty crowded at the moment. I like it, though.
Yeah, people are probably driving 3 hours to get on that track.
Sometimes I get a bit of a crowd when I do reps.
Shirt off in the middle of winter.
Oh, yeah, it's coming. I'm so close at the moment. I don't want to be the first one, though.
Very good. Bradley, what's coming up in your life?
Going to the hospital at some point this next week.
Good luck with that. Moose, what's coming up in your life?
I'm going back to Ballarat tomorrow. I've got this new record player, so I'm going to start playing some records.
Not like vinyls.
Vinyls, yeah. I've got vinyl, got a turntable, got this hi-fi. I'm just loving my music at the moment, so I'm just going to sit back and smoke some pot, listen to some some bass.
It's been a couple of weeks without a new toy, Brad.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, this vinyl, oh God, just gives me shivers when I listen.
And what about you, Brady? School holidays?
School holidays, just having a break, Brad. That was a big term. I went from thinking I was unemployed for 11 weeks to working full time for 11 weeks. Mm. So I'm just chilling out, just doing dad stuff, doing some running. Going to have a good mileage week this week. I want to get the mileage back up. Got to figure out a plan to beat Archie the next time I've got to race him in a time trial. Steigen 3K. That's the next thing I'm prepping for. No, nothing happening. Actually, I'm doing some interviews. That's what I'm doing. I've got Ben Parks for a friend of the show episode. And I think I'm calling Kenya tomorrow. So that should be on next week's show. That should be a bit of fun. All right, boys, we're done. That's episode 139 done. Thanks for listening. And yeah, see you later, fellas.
Have a good week.
See you, boys.
Thanks to ASICS for sponsoring this week's episode. Check out www.asics.com.au and learn about the all-new Meta Racer, which will help you get to the finish line faster. We'll be right back.